Welcome to the Wiley Manager Podcast, your place for just-in-time management advice, on the web at wileymanager.com.
Welcome to the Wiley Manager Podcast, and today, Jed, we're talking about workplace investigations going Columbo.
There you go. If you are a manager for any length of time, at some point in time, you will need to do an investigation in your workplace. So that's what we're going to chat about today, how to hopefully do one of those productively, efficiently, thoroughly, and correctly.
And for those born after 1975, Columbo is a detective, right? Do you remember Peter Falk is never mind.
We should use CSI maybe.
Yeah, okay. CSI. Go on CSI. That'd be good. So we have, as always, we have some viewer mail, and XLBB was good enough to talk to us on iTunes, and he said, an interesting perspective on how to apply this thought process in a wide variety of applications, which really could mean anything.
Extra large double B.
Yeah, we don't care. He gave us 5 stars, or she. We don't really know.
Well, we appreciate it then. Yeah,
thanks. And if you gave us your real name, we would try to make you famous.
Yes.
Right on. Okay, well, why don't you talk to us about what we're going to talk about today on the show?
Sure. We'll talk a little bit about why doing a workplace investigation correctly is, in fact, an important thing to be aware of and an important thing to be at least competent at.
Right.
And we'll walk through the workplace investigation steps. So let me tell you now that I've outlined 6 steps to a good workplace investigation, the first being assess the complaint.
Yep.
Second step being determine the interim status pending the outcome of the investigation. Then determine who should be involved in your investigation. And we'll talk a little bit about actually conducting investigative interviews. Then you need to determine what the outcome is going to be and taking action. So there's your 6 steps of the workplace investigation before we end the podcast with 3 things.
Okay. Well, that's a packed podcast. We're going to have to get right to her. But we should give everybody the caveat right up front here that we are not, in fact, lawyers. So nor are we lawyers in your jurisdiction, because here on the Wiley Manager Podcast, those jurisdictions are spread all over the world. So you do need to take everything we say here as a guideline rather than the gospel.
Indeed. Good point. We're not lawyers. We're not ex-policemen.
Yep.
We're just ex-HR folks who have done a fair amount of these in our own experience.
We're just a couple of guys that like to ramble on the Wiley Manager Podcast. So tell us, why do we bother? Why do I care about this as a manager?
Oh, man, because they can cost you a ton of money if you do them wrong. That's the first one. So if you don't do it right and this ends up getting, taken to the next level outside your organization, whether that be, if there's such thing as human rights complaints in the country where you live.
Right.
If you end up getting sued as a result of whatever the complaint was about that you did not handle right, that can cost you a ton of money. Not done well, these things can end up being expensive. Tied to that really is a couple other things too, your company reputation or your brand reputation or brand health. So, if something happens to hit the papers one day, for example, because you botched an investigation or didn't do one when you should have done one.
Not good.
Not good yep. for company reputation. If it hits, you don't want your name in the paper, Bob, when it comes to these sorts of things.
No, this is true.
And then just internally, like less dramatically maybe, but internally it can affect employee relations and morale, right? If you don't know how to do these things well and you botch them, it upsets people unnecessarily perhaps. So it can have a real negative impact on employee relations.
Right. And you talked about these things costing a lot of money. Well, bad employee relations cost a lot of money all by itself, all aside from your other legal risks. So.
Yep. And the other thing is careers are at stake, right, Bob? So not in every investigation, but some of the more serious ones. The outcome could be the individual is let go from the organization. Right? So careers, lives are at stake. Lives are at stake, Bob, if you don't do these things right.
Well, they certainly have the ability to really mess some people's lives up. So this is something that managers do have to take seriously. And again, sometimes organizations have good HR support and good HR people to help them with this, or good maybe you've got a legal team in your organization. And other times managers are kind of left to fend for themselves. And this is an area where managers have a tremendous amount of risk. And so you have to proceed with caution. If you're in a small or medium-sized organization, it might actually be worth the $500 to go sit with a lawyer for an hour before you get into this stuff if you don't have good support.
Yep, exactly right.
Okay, let's get into the meat because we got a lot of stuff to bolt through here. So investigation steps. Step number one, assess the complaint.
Yeah, the first one is to assess the complaint. So here you just want to think about what I'm assuming a complainant has come forward. They said, Jed, I want to come talk to you. And they lay that big meatball in your lap. Something's gone wrong and they want you to know about it. Some of the things you need to think about are, in some cases, laws have been broken. Right. So really here we're trying to assess the seriousness of the complaints to guide the rest of your investigation. Right. So laws may be broken. Company policies may have been breached or not followed correctly. Sometimes I've seen these things where they involve people external to your company, and that, and you know, that makes it a bit more complicated as well. So it might be one of your employees and the employee of a supplier, for example. So, or just, you know, the employee and a member of the public or some of your customers. So that can complicate things as well. And you should think carefully if that is in fact the case.
Mm-hmm.
So once you've done some of that thinking, you need to think about, well, is this kind of complaint going to require a formal or an informal response? Because that might guide how you your next steps.
Right.
Another thing I often ask, Bob, is I ask the complainants what it is that they see as a reasonable outcome, given that they've now come in forward with this complaint.
Yeah, it might help you determine how seriously you need to take it.
Yeah, how seriously are they taking it? Are they saying, right, well, I want Bob fired?
Yeah.
Versus, you know what, I just want you to be aware of it. Oh, okay. Sometimes they might not get what they want, but understanding how they're viewing the situation in terms of seriousness can help guide you again. So they might say, well, I just wanted to let you know, but the nature of the complaint is such that laws were broken or important policies were not followed. And you say, well, I appreciate you letting me know, but I'm going to have to go and, you know, take this a lot more seriously than that.
Right.
Thank you for bringing it forward.
Yeah. And certainly anytime where if you even have a suspicion that a local law has been broken, you need to act on that, right? I mean, there's a certain football coach in 2011 I'm thinking about in the United States that technically did all the right stuff and that still ended up ending his career because he didn't phone the police.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
So you can't underestimate the risk here. So, all right, step number two, determine who should be involved.
Yeah. So after you have assessed the complaint, you need to figure out, you know, you don't need to go these things alone if they're at all serious, right? So hopefully you have a decent HR department that can help you out with this.
Right.
In some cases, you'll want to consult your legal department, perhaps. And then, you know, even outside the organization, is it something that you need to involve the police in, for example?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So think about who else you should involve in the investigation based on your initial assessment of that investigation. Some companies have security or fraud departments, health and wellness or safety departments. So do some thinking about, okay, now that I've done the assessment, who do I need to involve given what I've know so far?
Okay. So I've done these quick back of the napkin calculations. I've sort of scoped it out in terms of assessing the complaint. I've at least in a preliminary basis determined who should be involved. Now,
yep,
quite likely I'm going to have to do something right away, right? Because again, if somebody comes to me and says, well, you know, this happened, then I've probably got to do something fairly quickly.
Yeah. And again, depending on the nature of the complaint, you might have – so this is the next step. Determine what the interim status of the folks that are involved in the investigation now should be. So are they reporting to work or are they going to stay home while you finish the investigation? Right. You know, is it a complaint between an employee and their boss, you know, sexual harassment or, you know, some other kind of just general harassment? Do you need to remove that person from that reporting relationship for a period of time until you complete your investigation? You know, sometimes when health and safety might be at risk or health is, you know, of a question and you've involved your health and wellness department, maybe they're off on short-term disability in order to get some help with whatever, you know, whatever the nature of the complaint and whatever might be going on.
Right.
So there's lots of different ways to go about it, but you need to determine quickly. And right now, is there anything I need to change while I go out and do this investigation from reporting to work or reporting relationships type of standpoint?
Right. And make sure you think through that carefully too, because it's this is actually a tough thing sometimes to figure out what to do, right? So if you send somebody home, you know, that implies perhaps guilt, right? When you don't know yet, right? So you have to really think this through and figure out what you're going to do with people, which is the next step, right? Is to investigate a bit further.
Yeah. So the nature of the complaint, hopefully they give you a couple of names of folks that are involved or saw it or whatever it might be that you need to go talk to. So first thing is make sure you do this very quickly. Once you've got the complaints, don't sit on this for a week and a half while you organize your calendar and get out there and do the investigative interviews. Do them quickly. Do them in a space where you know that you're going to be able to get some privacy, right? So make sure you think about where you're going to conduct those interviews and who you need to go talk to. So the first person you want to do an investigative interview with is the complainant themselves, right? So they may have came to you with a complaint and you have done the first few steps. Now you go back to the complainant with a bit more of a structured interview, if you will, to try and start your investigation off.
Sure.
They will often suggest to you, you know, Sally saw this go down as well, or Billy has seen this happen too. Okay, great. So what other suggested witnesses to the infraction can the complainant give you? Then you go talk to this those suggested witnesses that the complainant brought forward, right? So you gather as many facts as you can on the complainant side of the equation. Once you've done that, you go talk to, if it's about some particular individual, then you go talk to that person next. And so you've gathered a lot of information before you sit down with this respondent and you ask them a bunch of questions. They might have some witnesses you need to go talk to. So complainant stuff first, then the respondent stuff. And hopefully at that point in time, you've gathered a lot of information to move on to the next steps with.
Right on. And don't ever discount somebody's testimony just because their name happens to be Sally or Billy.
These are the names that came into my head.
Yeah, I know. They just seem like really, you know, juvenile names. So with all respect to everybody out there named Sally and Billy.
Sally or Billy, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
A couple other things on the investigative interviews, Bob, is you know, you've done the complaint and you're doing the respondent interviews. Be a little bit careful about what information you're going to provide, right? So you might have some confidentiality issues that you need to be, you know, conscious of and careful with. So you don't need to go tell you might not have to go tell everybody everything that you've learned while you're doing these investigations, right?
Right.
So be thoughtful about that. And then make sure you're very thorough. One question I ask at the end of my interviews with each of these kinds of folks would be, is there anything I haven't asked you or anything that you haven't told me that you think would be helpful as I investigate this particular issue?
Right on. Okay. So very quickly, then we get to the end of these things. And I guess one of a few things happens. So you finish your investigation. What happens next?
You finalize your investigation, right? So you need to figure out what you've learned. So unlike a court of law in most countries where you need to, you know, you need a, the burden of proof is beyond reasonable doubt.
Right.
In most countries, I would argue, the burden of proof isn't that harsh or strict. Usually the balance of probabilities is enough. So it's likely, most likely that this went down this way is usually enough in a workplace investigation.
Okay.
And then there's really three things that could happen as a result. Now you need to figure out, was the complaint substantiated, i.e. is it true? Is that thing happening? And, you know, it went down the way the complainant brought it forward.
Okay.
Or it's not substantiated. Hey, I found out that this didn't happen. There's no problem here.
Right.
That's when the complaint is not substantiated. And then the other one is inconclusive. So it's a bit of a he said this, she said that, and I can't dig any further and get any more information to help me that will actually help me decide one way or the other. It's a he said, she said, which is somewhat inconclusive.
Okay. And so presumably, I guess if it's one of the first two, either substantiated or unsubstantiated, we need to take some sort of action, right?
Yeah, so that's the next step, is to take action. So determine what the appropriate outcome is given all the information that you've gathered during your investigations and whether it's substantiated or not, right? So are people getting fired? Is there discipline that's being handed out? Or is it, hey, I'm not doing anything. There's nothing here to do anything with. So you determine what the appropriate outcomes are and then go inform both the complainant and the respondent as the investigation is now closed.
Yep.
In some cases, you can tell them exactly what the outcome was. In others, it might not be any of their business that you did with, you know, any of the individuals that were named. You should also go back and talk to some of the witnesses too, or talk to all of the witnesses. They should also be informed that the matter is now closed. They might not necessarily need to know what the outcome was, but you should let them know that you're done.
All righty then. Okay, Jed, you got 30 seconds. Give us three things.
One, two, three.
First is stay objective. So you need to sort of elevate yourself above this and not let emotions, personal, you know, feelings get in your way. You need to be Mr. Spock while you're going through an investigation as best as you can.
Right on. Wear the ears. Number two.
Stick to the relevant facts. Often as you do these investigations, you get all kinds of red herrings and all kinds of other stories that will come to the light, all kinds of other things that will get brought to your attention. You really want to make sure that you can sift through that information and stick to the facts and information that's relevant to the complaint, not all these other things that you're going to hear.
Just the facts, man. We just referenced Dragnet, too. Look it up. And number three.
Move quickly, but don't rush through these things. So you can't dilly-dally through it, but you don't want to rush and thereby, you know, compromise the investigation's thoroughness, for example.
Right on. Okay, well, there it is, your guide to investigations in the Wiley Manager Guides. I'll remind everybody, if they want to slide back onto the Wiley Manager website, that we have our cheat sheet collection there that you can pick up, 40 of our most popular cheat sheets. You can pick those up free on the website if you don't already have them. Also, if you need more information on what Jed has talked about today, we have a number of other podcasts that are somewhat related. We've got You're Fired. We told people how to fire people. We went did one on progressive discipline. We also did one on managing conflict. And so there's all three of those you can pick up back at the Wiley Manager website.
Well, there you go.
All right, Jed. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Wiley Manager podcast. If you have some comments or questions about today's show, please let us know at facebook.com/WileyManager.